Well, good morning, and a warm Father's Day welcome to all of you. I want to take a little bit of a poll here. So with a show of your hands, who's a father? How many fathers we have? Okay, now don't be shy. Who's a grandfather? Got to put mine down. Last one, any great grandfathers? All right. Well, let's give them a round of applause then. I do think about the day I remember before my grandparents passed away, we had a reunion and we filled a room with the descendants of just one set of grandparents, and there were over 50 people in that room. So what an amazing gift. Well, I hope everybody comes here with some celebration plans in mind today. Let's take this next hour or so to celebrate what we have in the Lord, which is forgiveness. One prayer request that came to me just a few minutes ago, I learned that Roy Esslinger went to the hospital this morning with an irregular heartbeat, and so he's going to have some tests done to see what's going on there. We also are going to be praying today for our mission team. They are in Arizona, from what I understand. The last update I got was they were near Albuquerque. So they're going to be serving out there on the Navajo Reservation. And Janine and Bob's son, Jake, is actually running that camp for the entire summer, which is pretty cool. So we're going to pray for them and for Jake for the rest of his summer. I know he's already had some challenges. They give him a certain amount of money at the beginning of the week and tell him to use that money to pay for the gas to go 2.5 hours to the nearest Home Depot in a van to pick up all the supplies that they need for the week, to stay within the budget, and then bring it back 2.5 hours pulling a trailer with a van, which he's never done before, and then this young man, I don't know if Jake's 20 or 21, he's right in there, is then, what's that? I don't know if he's 20 or 21, but he is leading the entire week, telling people what to do, how to build, and so that's been pretty intimidating. Janine was very proud of him when I talked to her. He had actually advocated to his boss for more money because gas is $5 a gallon and a 2x12 by 12 is $80. So they needed a little bit more money, but he did that and he was successful. So we thank God for the work that they're doing this week. Why doesn't everybody go ahead and stand? And let's start this morning by remembering whose we are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for this house of worship that you built. Allow us to be fed and nurtured by your word, by the Lord's Supper, and by remembrance of our baptism. Let these means of grace always remind us that no matter what our sin, we can come to you, confess that sin, and receive absolution. And when you see us through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection, you see us clothed perfectly in robes of white and ready to be with you in heaven. We pray for all of the folks out traveling, especially the mission team to and from Arizona this week. Keep them safe. And Lord, we also remember Roy in our prayers this morning. Bless this time in worship. Be with Pastor Bill and the worship team and all those who help facilitate this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's now remain standing and confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And Pastor Bill, would you please come up and announce the absolution?
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Feature a hymn, and this month our hymn is It Is Well With My Soul. The song has its foundation on these scriptures, Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. In Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging.
As a spiritual head of the household, happy Father's Day for you fathers that are out there. The scripture reading for this morning, okay, is from scripture, or from Luke, I should say, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. This is a centurion, by the way, okay, a Roman soldier that's in charge of 100 soldiers. Not a Jew either, okay, a Gentile. Watch his faith. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion servant, who his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some of the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogues." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man of under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he does. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such a great faith even in Israel." Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Hello, everyone. Come on down. Hi, Lexi. Hi, Gideon. Hi, Ryan. We have some more friends coming down to join us. Gavin is coming, Kinsley, Cora. Hello, everyone. How are you all today? Good. Good. Hey, did you all hear the Bible story that we just heard, the Bible reading we just heard? And it was about what? Did you catch it? It was about Jesus. Jesus was in the Bible story. Do you know what else happened in that one?
A servant obeyed God. A lot of people followed him.
Okay, we had a servant in there, but the servant was
a bad guy.
No, he wasn't a bad guy, but he was, did anybody hear? Sick. Yeah. He was sick.
About to die.
Yeah, he was pretty sick. And he was a servant of a Roman centurion, okay? So, did the Romans and the Jews get along? No, they sure didn't. All right, but we heard about how the Roman centurion went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, can you heal my servant?"
And okay? He healed his servant.
And in the story, what we just heard, yes, Jesus healed his servant. So, we're going to do a little experiment here. Okay. Hold that for me. And hold that for me. I believe purple unicorns are real. Would you put a spoon of that in my jar here? Okay, yeah, make sure I have the right one. Huh. Did that really do anything?
Yeah.
But I believe purple unicorns are real. Are they real?
No.
Are you sure? You would know, wouldn't you, if purple unicorns were real, Cora? But they're not, and you would know. I feel like you would. Okay, so even though I believe purple unicorns are real, just because I think... Maybe I should put another spoon in.
Yeah.
Let's do more. Did more work?
Yeah.
Purple unicorns still aren't real. There's still not one coming right here in church. Rat. I was really hoping a purple unicorn would just come trotting down in church. Okay, so it is at the bottom, but it's not really doing anything different, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So the Roman centurion, he could have believed, well, he's a Roman. Don't do too big of a spoonful. Like half of that. Yeah, that's good. The Romans, just a little. The Roman centurion could be like, well, I'm a Roman, and I'm really powerful because I'm a Roman, so that would make my servant better. Did it? Okay, just a little bit more. Not too much. He could believe, well, I'm a soldier, and I'm powerful because I'm a soldier. Did that make his servant better? Okay, well, obviously, those things aren't working. Okay, so now he went to Jesus. Okay, and he said, Jesus, I believe you can heal my servant because you can do it. You're Jesus. I have faith that you're Jesus. Did that do anything different? This is why I came prepared. Yes. Did we put as much in here as we did in here?
Yes.
Or did we put more spoonfuls in here than we did in here? Try again. Just put a tiny bit in. Just put a tiny bit in. Just a tiny bit. Look, now did that do something?
Yes.
Did the Roman soldier, but what did his, was his servant healed because he was a Roman? Was his servant healed because he was a soldier?
No,
I'm good. No, his servant was healed because he had faith in Jesus. Jesus didn't even have to go see the servant, right? Jesus was like, wow, because of your faith, your servant is healed. The servant was like way long way away. He didn't even go like be like, here, I'll come give you some medicine or anything. He just said, I will heal your servant. And it didn't, all the Roman soldier had was faith in Jesus. Do we have that same faith today? Does God give us that same faith? Yes, he does, because he is our heavenly Father, and he loves us so much, and he wants us to be with him forever, and he gives us the faith to believe in him. Do we believe in him? I mean, can we, like, is it just, I mean, do we do anything to have this faith? Or is it because he gives it to us? Because he loves us. He wants us to be with us, him forever, right?
Yeah.
Here on this earth, and then when we go to heaven, he wants us to be with him, us, him forever. And he will always forgive us, right? And he gives us that faith, and that little bit of faith did a big thing, didn't it? It made it go.
It blew down.
I know, I'm super glad I had my pan here because it could have been messy.
Also was tripping off of it.
Yeah. So we're going to thank God right now for that faith that he gives us, and that faith that we believe he is real, and that he does amazing, amazing things in our lives and in the lives of other people. Okay? Here we go. Let's pray. Fold your hands. Dear Jesus, thank you for faith. Thank you that a little bit of faith does amazing things. God, help us to use our faith to serve you and love others. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
While the kids head that way for a little worship, I'm going to invite Pastor Bill to come up, and he's going to have a message for us, and I'll say a prayer for him. Father God, thank you for your servant, Pastor Bill. Be with him and the words that he's going to speak through his mouth, but we know, Lord, that they are not his words, but your words. Let us as hearers have open ears, open minds, and open hearts to be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The lesson for this morning, the sermon text, is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, and so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So far the text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lawrence and Alice Parker of San Bernardino, California, threw away their diabetic son's insulin in belief that he'd been cured by a faith healer. They were convicted of involuntary manslaughter and child abuse. The charge stemmed from the death of their 11-year-old Wesley Parker 3 days after his daily shots of insulin were stopped by his parents. So much for the ridiculous belief that it doesn't make any difference how what you believe as long as you believe. No, we need to know and believe in the truth. And there's only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ and his marvelous word for you and me. False teachers and false religions have been around since Satan as a snake deceived Eve and her husband Adam. While the devil knew it was a lie that he told Eve, Eve believed his false religion and led Adam away from God's truth. Just because a person is sincere about his faith doesn't make it true. Ever since the fall into sin, mankind has been trying to get right with God. This is where all religions except Christianity. It is also the basis upon which the method of getting right with God separates Christianity from all religions. All the non-Christian religions teach that a man must be good to earn his way to salvation, away from God's punishment. But God's good news is different. God's gospel is different. God's good news teaches that man is a sinner and cannot make himself right with God, but that God made us right with God through the work and the merits of Jesus Christ. What man cannot do, God did. Now, the text is printed out in the bulletin, and I'd like you to have that open because I'm going to make some references to it. First of all, who is this guy who's writing a letter to the Galatians? First of all, he says he's sent by God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. He is sent. And he says, I am an apostle. And that's what the word apostle means. He is sent. Sent by God with the power of attorney. That's what that apostle means. He's sent with the authority of God to preach the truth to God's people, to preach God's word to the people. With the power of attorney. And he's also sent by the church. Notice it says, and all the brothers and sisters with me. And that's what we do today. Your pastor is called by the church. And it's that call by the church that is God's stamp of approval that he is to proclaim the word of God to you. So he is sent by God and sent by the church. And what does he bring? He brings two wonderful gifts. You see it there in the text. Grace and peace. What is this grace? It is such a marvelous gift that God has given. It's a word that proclaims the love of God for you and me that is so profound that the word love doesn't even come close to describing what it is that God has for you and for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's grace is this love that is so profound, such a wonderful gift for you. We can't earn it. There's no way. It's a gift, free and open, no strings attached. You don't have to measure up for anything. God still loves you, no matter what. When the young people come up for communion on Monday nights, it's my honor and privilege to lay my hand on their head and say, God is going to love you no matter what. There is nothing that is going to keep you from receiving God's love. Hang on to that love. God will love you. He does love you. Why? Because you're so good? Because you earned that love somehow? No, we know better than that, don't we? He loves you because God is love. How many of you can tell me where the Bible says God is love? You raise your hand if you can remember. Okay, I'm going to give you a real easy way to remember that passage. It's in 1 John chapter 4. Double that. Verses 8, double that. Verse 16. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16. Twice it says, God is love. Now it's not talking about something that describes how God feels. It's talking about what God really is. God is love. Today is Father's Day. One day a year, we honor fathers. But 365 days a year, we honor the Father of us all, who loves us so much that he gave his Son to live and to die for you and me. This is that grace that God gives so openly and freely, without conditions. And peace, that wonderful peace that God gives to you and to me. How many of you really enjoy peace this morning? Raise your hand. In spite of COVID, in spite of financial worries, relationship issues, we still have peace. How can we have peace? The best way is to go to God's Word, to see what God has to tell us about how to find true peace in this wonderful, wonderful world that he is giving to you and to me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. That's not too hard to remember, is it? Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness or let your patience be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, that's the power of positive thinking. That's really what he's talking about here, isn't it? Concentrating on the positive things that God has done and is doing for you. And in that, rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious about anything. Why not? Because God is in control. God is in charge. My wife listens to the radio, and very rarely do we ever get any good news off the radio. Most of it is a lot of bad news. And we keep reminding ourselves, but God is in charge. But God is in charge. And that is our hope. That is our trust. Because he loves us. Because of that grace, we have peace. Another place in the scripture I'll read about finding this wonderful gift of peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Very similar to the one in Philippians. Rejoice always. Now, in the Greek, the original language, that's the shortest verse of the Bible. Just one word. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Yeah, that's how we rejoice always. Pray continually. Be in contact with God. Take your troubles to him. He's the only one that can really help. Because he's the God of love. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just finished reading this particular passage, and I went outside in North Dakota in January, and I slipped on the ice and went flying across the porch and hit my leg up against the corner of the garage. Landing in a snowbank, I was sure that I'd broken my leg. The pain was severe. And I thought, okay, Lord, what is there here to be thankful? Then I moved my leg and it wasn't broken. Okay? Yeah, okay, there is something to be thankful for. My leg isn't broken. And the pain began to subside almost immediately, and I went on to do whatever it is I had to do. Give thanks unto the Lord in every situation, because he is still the God of love. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. God is saying rejoice in the Lord always. Don't say, ah, that's a bunch of baloney. Don't quench the Spirit. But take what God is giving and let it lift you up. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them. Hold on to what is good and reject every form of evil. My translation for this is test everything. If it's good, hang on to it. If it ain't, get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? Pray without ceasing. Always be with God, praising him. By the way, I mentioned COVID a little while ago. You know, my son was looking forward to making this mission trip to Arizona because he wanted to spend Father's Day with his son, Jacob, who is kind of in charge of that area where he was going. Well, he and his wife now have COVID and they're sitting at home. He's unable to make the trip. So we pray for them. We pray for all the people who are sick. We pray for all the people who are under God, who are in God's care, knowing that God is in charge and God is going to work his will, which is for our good, because God is love. And he gives us his grace, he gives us his peace, so that no matter what is happening around us, you and I have this wonderful gift of salvation. We know we're going to heaven. We have that peace that passes all understanding. We know where we're going because God has made the promise. And he gives it to us. He promises us in our baptism. He promises it to us in the body and the blood of Christ. He promises it to us in the Word. And he keeps his promises. God is faithful. The Galatians apparently forgot about that. And so Paul writes to them and he says, why? Why have you so soon forgotten the wonderful gift that God has given us in this wonderful good news, this wonderful gospel? The gospel of salvation through Christ, not through us. It's a gift. It's already been done. It's a done deal. We receive it by believing it. And even that is God's gift. Through the Holy Spirit, as he comes to us in the Bible, in the sacrament of the altar, and the sacrament of baptism, keeping our faith strong. The gospel. The gospel is our source of grace and peace. The gospel is God's message to you and to me. The gospel is about all that Jesus has done for us, how he lived for us and died for us, how he lived for us, earning for us the goodness of God, the righteousness of God. The holiness of God is yours because of what God did for you in Jesus Christ as he lived the perfect life in your place, earning for you that perfect righteousness of God, and then going to the cross, earning again for you by taking your place, that the penalty for sin is paid in full. Man sinned, therefore man must die for man's sins. God became that man to die, to pay for man's sins. And that's Christ. He accomplished it for you and for me. Can you think of a more loving God? Can you think of a greater God than that we have? How blessed you and I are that God has revealed himself to us that we can recognize him as our God. The Jews always saw God as their God. And so many of them lost that vision. But you and I are blessed with that word. We're blessed with the sacraments that keep us faithful, that keep us always focused on him and the positive things that he's done for us and is doing for us. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us, for giving us the Holy Bible, so that by reading the Holy Bible, we can see that you are the creator of all things, that you are God, the only God. And that you love us so much that you sent your only Son to live and to die for us, earning for us the righteousness of God and the forgiveness of sins. Can you think of a more gracious God than that? What he has done for you and me, how he has identified himself to you and me so that we can receive the wonderful gift. We can identify him as our God, the God who truly loves us. But the Galatians forgot, didn't they? And they fell away from that gospel. They fell for a different gospel, which Paul says is no gospel at all. Listen to what he says. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that which you accepted, let him be under God's curse. In the Latin and in the Greek, the word for that curse is anathema. That is a word that comes up during the Reformation. Luther and Melanchthon were trying to get Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, to understand the teachings of the Bible. That was the Augsburg Confession. The next year, the Roman Catholics came through with what they called the Reputation. In other words, they were answering the Augsburg Confession. And in it, and this is still part of the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, if anyone believes that you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, let him be anathema under God's curse. In other words, let him be under God's curse if he accepts the word of God. False teachers are around us all the time. False teachers. Now, I'm not saying every Catholic priest preaches this kind of thing, but that is still the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. Closer to home, we have false teachers in the Lutheran Church. all the mainline churches are split between the conservative branch and the liberal branch. And in every case, the liberal branch is almost twice the size of the conservative branch. In the Lutheran Church, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, is twice the size of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The ELCA does not believe the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God, but it only contains. And so they are able to take sections of God's Scripture, set it aside, and say, that's not God's Word. And therefore, they can follow whatever the dictates of society says. They can follow the dictates of popular opinion instead of what God says. False teachers abound. The Muslims, the Mormons, they make a big deal out of works and how you get to heaven by being good. And that, my friends, is the natural religion of mankind that it's so easy for us to adopt because we all want to be able to pat ourselves on the back and say, I did it. But we didn't. Jesus did. And we give him the credit. We give him the glory. Always, continually, because of that grace, we have the peace that passes all understanding. How blessed we are, each and every one of us. But these false teachers, God is so upset with them and angry with them. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 6. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to serve your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses father or mother is put to death. But you say, if anyone declares that what might have been is used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let any of them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions, and you have that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. And Jesus called them hypocrites and was not at all complimentary. False teachers abound. False teachers around us constantly. We need to be aware, and the only way we can be aware is to know this Word of God. How is the best way to get to know the Word of God? To read it yourself. To study it at home. To enjoy family devotions. Daily time where you get together in the Word of God, maybe with the portals of prayer or some other devotional material. But be in the Bible. Regular Bible reading. Continue to read that Bible for a portion every day so that that Word of God is in you. So that when we are tempted, we can say, get behind me, Satan, with the Word of God. We need to be in church every opportunity, receiving the sacrament, receiving and remembering our baptism, and receiving that Word of God. Being in Bible study. I've often said, and a lot of pastors disagree with me, but that's okay. My wife disagrees with me too sometimes. I believe Bible study is a better way of knowing the Word of God than the divine service. Simply because people can ask questions. People can discuss a question in Bible study. How many of you here would be comfortable with raising your hand and saying, Pastor, you just said such and such, and, I don't understand that. Would you explain that to me? Raise your hand if you'd be comfortable with that. Good. Good. Don't be bashful. Truly, truly, we need to be able to ask questions, to be able to learn, to be able to inwardly digest this Word of God so that we have a real understanding of who God is and how much He loves us. There are so many false teachers who would lead us away from God. The world out there is constantly trying to teach us there's no such thing as free lunch. You have to pay for it somehow. You have to earn it. This salvation that Jesus lived and died to give you is a free gift. There's no way, no way that we can even think we could pay for it. Are we blessed? Yeah. We are blessed more than we could possibly ever deserve. And yet God is still there. Even with all the troubles, God is still there, loving us, caring for us, and saving us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. And now at this time, we're going to collect our tithes and offerings. So I would ask that you take a moment to fill out the register in your pew. And if you see somebody, or if you don't see somebody that you know, take a mental note of that and invite them to church next week. We do appreciate you letting us know that you're here. And with that, we're going to sing As It Is in Heaven.
Let your glory come.
And at this time, I would invite you to stand as we confess who we are and what we believe through the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, at this time, we are going to bring our prayers to the Lord. I talked a little bit about Roy Esslinger at the beginning and also our mission team out in Arizona. I want to add to that continued prayers for Mary Borgschulte, and also as COVID is still affecting the world as a whole and our ministry and our congregation here in our little corner of the world, we're going to pray for continued healing and guidance as we manage our response to COVID and as some of our own continue to heal from that. I would ask you to stand one more time. Father God, thank you for this time. We know that you hear us when we pray. Allow us to bring these prayers to you this morning. We pray specifically for Roy Esslinger and the medical team that's going to be testing his heart and his cardiovascular system. God, we pray that this is only a small minor blip in the radar for Roy and his health, and that these test results come back positive, and just be with him and his patients as he goes through this, and give guidance to his medical team to treat him correctly. We pray for the Arizona mission team and Experience Mission, specifically Jake Lehman, as they are serving the Navajo in Arizona. Give them guidance, help their pennies to be stretched to the max, and give travel safety to the team out and back. We pray for Mary Borgschulte and her continued struggle with the pain and her back and getting around, and thank you for Darwin and the others who Dorwood rather, and the others who continue to serve Mary, and we pray for Dorwood especially in his time that he's given patience and peace. And finally, we pray for the doctors that are treating the COVID out there, and for us as we continue to experience it personally, or if not personally, the effects of it. Please give us the tools to fight this disease and allow us to rejoice always, even when it affects us personally. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and Lord, we pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. I said one more time, but actually I'm going to ask you to stand again at the end. But be seated for now. That's perfectly fine. I think you might call that a Freudian slip. I said Darwin's name instead of Dorwood's name. And I think that goes to show you how much Darwin continues to be on my mind and my heart. And what a blessing he has been and was to us in our lives. I didn't know whether to say anything about that, but I said it. So let's invite Pastor Bill to come and consecrate the Lord's Supper.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
I am
May this strengthen and preserve you into true faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ through life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
The guitar player is also the worship leader. You got to wait for him every now and then. I don't know if it was the coffee this morning or playing that song, but now I'm kind of sweating. You can have a seat. Just one quick announcement this morning. There is a Bible study led by Laura and me for families in particular, but if you're here alone, go ahead and join. It will still be applicable to you. But it's about 10 till 11, so at 11 we'll be starting up a family Bible study here in the sanctuary. Otherwise, there's some goodies out back, and I hope you all enjoy your Father's Day weekend. Any other announcements? Going once? Thanks, Mike. A family meeting, I'm assuming, after the worship service on July 10th, coming up in a couple of weeks here. All right. God bless you all. Have a great week.